success. Who is here that doesn't want success? Nobody likes failure. And our whole life is devoted to being more successful, whether I'm a student, I'm a businessman, I'm a housewife, I'm a professional. Even a beggar wants to be a successful beggar and get as much money as he can from the public. Not only that, but we do not want to associate with people who are not successful. Nobody wants to associate with a failure, you know, somebody who is not doing anything. We even tell our children, you know, you need to associate with people who will be the right kind of peer pressure, not somebody who is going to get your child involved in drugs or alcohol. Or you want them to associate with, you know, good children who will help them to progress in life. So what is the meaning of success? And this 18th chapter tells us very beautifully what success is. And most of us consider success as having a better job, doing well in studies, having a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger stock portfolio, more companies, more businesses. And that is good. From the worldly point, yes, we need to have that. But the scriptures tell us that there is something beyond just this success. And that is what we need to look at. As we said, a person who starts out in life and then becomes very successful in the world, achieving, acquiring a lot of money, wealth, good house, is good. But then how did this person acquire the wealth? That's why in our scriptures, four goals are given: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So artha and kama, they must be obtained. You must have wealth and you must have pleasures. You must have fun in life. But they should be done with dharma, in the right way. If I'm acquiring wealth, if I'm successful, it should be done honestly, sincerely. And similarly, my pleasures in life should not be obtained dishonestly or cheating somebody or hurting somebody. So dharma is required for artha and kama. The fourth one, moksha, is the ultimate goal of human life, and that is liberation. And as we know, liberation is not the freedom to vote. You know, I can vote on for Hillary or Clinton or for nobody. You know, that is one freedom. But the highest freedom is freedom from the thraldom of objects, emotions, and thoughts. Because right now we are caught in acquiring more objects, having more emotional fun, having more success. But a person who is all the time involved in that is bound. That's why even the Upanishad says, mana e manushya nam karanam bandha moksha yoho. Mind is the cause of our bondage and mind is the cause of our liberation. We just heard that this week very beautifully from Swami Swarupanandaji, where he talked about a mind that is attached to sense objects or objects of the world is bound. But a mind that's attached to the Lord, to the self, is free. Because then I do not depend on the world for my happiness. I'm not a beggar of happiness. So true success can be obtained as I progress spiritually. That is the hallmark of success. And that's the success that remains. Thousands of kings came and went in India. Thousands of kings came and went in Europe. How many do we remember? But do we remember Buddha? Do we remember Jesus? Do we remember Shankaracharya, Mirabai, Mother Teresa, Saint Francis? They will always be remembered, even 1,000 years from now, 2,000. So true success is that. And in this chapter, Krishna tells us about Sattvic, Rajasic, and Tamasic. Sattvic and Rajasic we did last week. Sattva is pure knowledge. Unselfishness, as we have studied, the sattvic person who sees oneness, that in this whole universe, which appears divided, there is one consciousness, just as space is one, but appears divided, hall space, room space, cup space, pot space. But when you dissolve the walls, there is only one space. So similarly, there is one consciousness called Lord or Brahman, which pervades the entire universe and appears divided. Her consciousness is different from hers, from his. But in reality, there is only one consciousness appearing divided, and one who sees the unity in all is Sattvic. And then Rajasic individual is one who sees divisions, which majority of us are, where I see that I am different from her and him, and I have to compete, I have to be more successful, I have to climb over, step over people's head so I can be the top, the CEO of the company, the biggest business. So that is Rajas. And what is Tamas? We'll study that today. So verse number 22. Chapter 18, verse number 22. Yattu Krishnavade Kasmin Karye Sakta Mahaitukam Atatvarthavadalpancha Dattamasamudahritam. So the last part is Dattamasa Udahritam. Tamasa is the lowest, the one that is the lowest. That is the greed and self, that is laziness, selfishness, and that is the lowest. Rajas, as we said, sees differences, and Sattva sees one. What does Tamasik see? So, tat tamasa udahritam, that is said to be Tamasik. Which knowledge is Tamasik? Yattu Krishnavad ekasmin karye. So, in the whole, in the totality, he takes one part of that, and considers that alone is the reality. The Sattvic looks at the whole, the Rajasic looks at differences. The Tamasik said, this alone is right. A small part of that, and everything else is wrong, and we'll go into more detail about that. And he's attached to that one particular thing that he or she has picked up, totally attached, and ahaitukam, and there is no logic. There is no logic in his thinking. Atatvartham, and it is totally without truth. There is no truth, there is no reality, there is no essence. And alpam, and it is very narrow. So a tamasic person's thinking is, takes a part to be the whole, without logic, without truth, and a very narrow vision of life. Let us see what we mean by that. Now tamas can be in religion, can be in family, can be in society. They say, how can religion be tamasic, rajasic, or sattvic? We thought religion is always sattvic, it's always pure. But even in religion, people do that, where they say that my religion alone is right, and anybody else who doesn't believe in my religion or doesn't believe in my God should be killed, should be, you know. Example is, you know, suicide bombers. Talking about suicide bomber, I recently saw a cartoon where Saint Peter is standing on the gates of hell, you know, and there is a long line of suicide bombers coming one after another. And he says, stop, stop, we are running out of virgins. Because they said you will get 71 virgins in heaven. So he says, we have no more left, please don't come. So, so that is fanaticism, where anybody who does not believe in my religion should be killed. But it's not only in one religion, we find that in all religions. Some people say, people who believe in my religion only will go to heaven, everybody else will go to hell. So what will happen? You know, few people will go to heaven and all the others will go to hell. In fact, it's very interesting, it's a true story. We had a housekeeper, there was many years ago, used to take care of our daughter when she was little, help Neeru. Because Neeru was working in her dental profession. And so she one time told me, she's a very nice lady, very religious, used to go to church every Sunday. And Kathy was her name. And she says, you know, my husband Joe, he'll go to hell. She said, your husband Joe will go to hell? Why do you say that? Does he lie to you? No. Does he cheat? No. Does he beat on you? No. Does he take care of you? Yes. Does he love you? Yes. Then why would he go to hell? Because brother, you know, they call the priest brother in that particular sect. Brother said, anybody who doesn't come to our church will go to hell. And Joe goes to the church across the street. Now, they are both Christians. They both believe in Christ. But this pastor is telling his congregation that even though they are Christians and believe in Christ, if they don't come to this particular building and don't worship, so that means hell will be crowded. You know, there'll be billions and only maybe 100,000 or 1 or 2 million or 5 million people will go to heaven or a billion. And the, all the others will go to hell. There'll be no place in hell. So that kind of thinking is tamasic. Even though you are preaching religion, if you are getting people to be misguided. So tamasic is, like I said, everybody else will go to hell. Rajasic religion is where people compete. You know, in my church, there's 200 people came on Sunday. Their church only 100 came, but we have to work harder. And it's same thing in all religion, even in Hindus. You know, Shiva Bhaktas, I remember at one time, used to fight with Vishnu Bhaktas, and there was violence and war. So this wrong understanding of religion is tamasic. Same thing in the family. How can there be a family which is tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic? In a family, if a person says, my will alone works, what I say will work, I don't care what wife thinks, children thinks, but this alone will. That is tamasic, where a person looks at his or her view and tries to impose it on everybody else. A rajasic family is what? We can turn on the fan, the switch on the left, please. The left one. The rajasic family is, or maybe it just needs to be, it's okay. Oops. I think, no, it's the, it just needs to be pulled.
Oh.
No, the other one. One more. Okay, leave it. I think it has to be turned on from
tamasic.
Yeah. Slow. So what is a rajasic family? Where everybody is competing. You know, wife is fighting with husband and a teenager is deciding what they will do. And there is a constant conflict. Even when they are on the dinner table, I talked about last time, everybody's on his own cell phone. Everybody's talking to somebody else somewhere. And they are not, nobody's talking to each other. That is a rajasic family. And what is sattvic family? Where everybody thinks, let us do what is good for the family and let the family unit become a unit of betterment of society. And similarly in society, there can be tamasic, rajasic or sattvic. Tamasic is where communism alone should be there in the whole world. And we have to spread our, you know, vision of, and even among communism, there is, you know, Chinese communism and Russian communism and Korean. And so this kind of division where I have to push my agenda, that is tamasic. Rajasic is again competing. You know, the Russians are doing this, so we have to do this. They have 10,000 nuclear warheads, we have to have 20,000. If they attack us, we have to attack them first. So that is rajasic. And then sattvic, of course, is the idea that we are all one. This whole universe is one. This whole earth is one. And let us do what is good for the earth. The way we are headed now with building more and more nuclear weapons and more conflicts. And the problem is in the olden days, it was okay. You know, somebody was mad at the whole world. You know, at the most, they would take a gun and shoot or take a knife. Now, if a tamasic individual gets a nuclear weapon, which is happening, slowly the nuclear weapons are spreading to, you know, Koreans and Iran and all these other countries. And soon they will go in the hands of people who have no interest in their own life. And so that is where we are headed. So that's, we have to be very, very careful. Because people think, you know, I have studied a lot. I know everything. I have heard this many times. I've heard all the Swamis talk. And I am a very sattvic individual. And it may be, you know, we may be sattvic. We may be very evolved. But what happens is the human mind is so prone to distraction. We think that everything is going well, but what happens is that's why they say repeated listening to this knowledge is very, very important. Even though we have heard it many times, I myself have been going to classes for about 25 years regularly. But still, as you go out into the world, the mind slips. You know, when you start in the morning with meditation, prayer, you're in a very sattvic mood. As you go out into the world and start working, your mind slowly goes down and down. So the goal of life should be as much as possible to stay in sattva, purity, knowledge, love, sharing, compassion, and bring that in your life. Make your life a service of the world. Make yourself an instrument of the Lord. And constantly remembering that is sattvic. And that's what we find, that as we said, these people become very fanatic. And hell would get crowded if everybody, you know, went to hell who did not believe in one. This reminds me of a monk story. So there was this monk who was sitting in meditation, sitting, and this ninja warrior comes and he waits. And as the monk opens his eyes, he puts a knife on his throat, you know, a sword, and he says, "Show me the way to heaven. I hear you are a monk. I want to go to heaven. How will I go to heaven?" So monk looked at him calmly and said, "You can't go to heaven." So he said, "Why not? If you don't tell me, I'll kill you right now." He said, "You may kill me, but you can never go to heaven because you are already in hell." He said, "What do you mean I'm in hell? I'm living on this earth." Hell is not something that you go after death. You know, people think, if I do good after death, I will be in heaven and I'll be in this paradise and all this beauty of the heavens. Or if I don't do good, then I'll be suffering and put in fire and hot water. But a person whose mind is peaceful, whose mind is cheerful, whose mind is calm, is in heaven already. And a person whose mind is agitated, full of anger, full of jealousy, full of greed, full of hatred, he's living in hell. Heaven and hell is not a place where, okay, I'll go after death. This life itself we can make into heaven or hell. So one who lives with this kind of negative attitude is living in hell. And we find that people who are tamasic also judge others by their own yardstick. You know, just because one person of one community is dishonest, they say, everybody of that community is dishonest. Or one person of one is corrupt or is lazy or is... And so we label entire communities. Everybody of that community is this. Everybody... Because in every community, there are good and bad people. So when you pick on one characteristic and one trait and brand the entire community as, that is also tamasic. This reminds me of the story of Pol Pot in Cambodia. I'm sure you might have heard about him, but he was a ruler. He actually started out with the Communist Party and became very powerful and ruled over the whole country of Cambodia. And he had this very stupid idea about, very tamasic idea, where he thought people in the cities, you know, they have been living in comfort. They have all the wealth, all the, you know, good things. And the poor farmers in the villages are suffering and are unhappy. So he ordered that everybody from the city will move into the village and work in the fields. And everybody from the fields will move into the city and live in. And so actually millions of people were dislocated. Entire cities were emptied. The police went from house to house and cleared the people and said, "Take your belongings and start marching." And people were marching. You know, these people were, you know, they were not used to working in the fields, and they would force them to work in the fields. And the researchers and college professors and school teachers and business people and the intelligentsia and the bright and the brilliant people were all taken out of the universities and the labs and the colleges, and they were forced to work in the fields. And these farmers were brought and they were said, "Now you are running the country." I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, but everybody can only do what they are trained to do. You cannot force a intellectual to work as a farmer, and you cannot force a farmer to overnight become an intellectual. And it is said 1/4 of the population of the country died. Out of 8 million, more than 2 million people were killed because they had to march in the heat and there was no food and there was no arrangements. It was like a wholesale redistribution of the... So that is tamasic thinking, where he thinks that one idea, yes, the poor should be brought up, is good. But using that idea to create wholesale destruction in the country is the height. Ultimately, of course, fortunately, he was defeated and then he died in disgrace. The last I wanted to talk about the Manhattan Project. How many people here know what the Manhattan Project was? Anybody? You know? Yes. Yeah, the atomic bomb. So what happened was, in the 40s, when the war between Japan and the US was going on, they created a top secret project called the Manhattan Project, where what they did was different teams of researchers throughout the country were given specific jobs without being told what it is. One was given a job of, you know, making the delivery system, another one to make the shell and casing of the nuclear weapon, another one to develop the plutonium, other one the heavy water, the other one the missiles. So all that was being done in total secrecy. And the idea was that ultimately very few people knew that all these components will ultimately be compiled to make a nuclear weapon. So the idea being that even though these persons did not know what they are doing, but the fact that they are involved in such a project makes it tamasic. Any person who is involved in the nuclear industry, making guns, in the tobacco industry, people say, you know, I don't sell tobacco. All I do is grow tobacco. A farmer, yes, but you are growing tobacco, then that will go to the manufacturers and then that will be sold all over the world. So whether it's tobacco, whether it's alcohol, now marijuana is being legalized. Oh, marijuana is very safe. Marijuana is a very, very tamasic product. It causes dependence in children. It messes up with their brain. So the point is that when you are involved in any of these industries, even though you may directly not be responsible for creating the damage or the destruction, but working itself, it gives you a tamasic. So one has to be very careful that what I am working on, what I am producing, is it going to benefit society or is it going to harm society? Yeah, it's people say, yes.
So with the Manhattan Project, how can an individual be tamasic if he did not know that the project would inherently bring about illness?
Right. Right. No, I agree. But ultimately, you are responsible for the result of your action. I did not know the speed limit was 35 and I'm driving 45 or 50 and you say, oh, I didn't know the speed limit. But the fact that you were doing something wrong, ultimately the karmic load of that action will come. I know actually some of the most brilliant scientists were involved in Cornell. In fact, was one of the main part. And a lot of the brilliant people were, a lot of them ultimately went on to win the Nobel Prize and all. But the point is that when I am working, I have to be sure that my work does not contribute to destruction. So that is the idea. But yes, a very good question. And same thing, but the karmic result of the action is what one has to look at, that what was the final result. Yes?
The flip side of it, because it was atomic bomb was stolen, U.S. became safer.
Right, but then also now, is it Russia is also safer and Iran is also safer and Korea is so safer and now North Korea has weapons and Pakistan is giving weapons to everybody left and right. So you cannot keep it only to America. Yes, if you could do that, but ultimately what's going to happen, some crazy guy is going to get a nuclear weapon. And he's going to say, I don't care what happens, you know, as long as my, you know, this thing should prevail. And if he releases a nuclear weapon, the others are going to counter and ultimately be the destruction of the world. So, yes, you know, you can buy safety through violence or you can buy safety through peace. That's why we had talked about violence can never get peace. Peace can get peace, but violence can never beget peace. So, if you truly want peace, it has to be done with peaceful methods. If you're trying to impose peace through violence, okay, by wholesale destruction of this enemy, I will create peace, you cannot do that. So ultimately, it is going to end up in the destruction of the world. We will sooner or later destroy ourselves, and that's okay. In the total scheme of things, it doesn't matter. One small planet wiped out. There are billions of such planets where there are people living. So how does, for you and me, this is, oh, Earth will be destroyed. It's okay. We'll be born in some other planet. So how does it matter? It's no big deal. It's a very small, in the total scheme of things, we are a very tiny little, we are a very tiny little speck of sand in the whole of, our whole Earth is a little speck of sand in the whole of creation. So it's okay. If it happens, it happens. But at least I live my life good. So I think our time is over. I will just quickly, any one or two comments, otherwise we'll go. I'll make some quick announcements. The 25th will be a parent-teachers meeting. We'll have the regular class from 11 to 12. And 12 to 12:30, all adults will be going into the teachers' classrooms. And if you have children who are studied in different classrooms, you can meet with the teachers. So that will be on 25th, but we'll still have the class from 11 to 12, just the last half hour. And then on October 24th to 27th, Swami Ishwarananda Ji will be coming, and you'll be getting the email, and he'll be talking on Ashtavakra Gita. So let us end. We'll go into the hall. Today is a shorter class because we are celebrating Ganesh Chaturthi. And for those who don't know, she just went. For those of you who don't know, worshipping Ganesha is a sure way to remove obstacles. So if you have any obstacles in your life, if you pray to Lord Ganesha, it's guaranteed to be removed. So we'll be going to the hall for the prayers. So thank you very much. But next week onward, we'll have the regular class, full class. Today is just a shorter class, only one verse. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti 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 hi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.